We thank God for tonight, and we welcome Sister Judy back there. Thanks for coming, and thank you for coming. And everyone, God is good, and all the wonderful words we've heard from these precious saints of God from this morning, tonight. Marina and her mama does a good job. Joy, you sang this morning. And Brother Andre, and then Sister Rosie, of course, she preached up a storm. And Sister Letty, that was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you. That's a good word. And we're glad to see every one of you tonight, and the Lord is so good. And we are in the book of Jonah, and we are dealing still with the soul. That's what we are dealing with. And because the soul need to be set free, delivered, and only God can do the job. If you notice in chapter 1 of Jonah, go back there a while. Verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," it was the word of the Lord. Okay? He wasn't just hearing some voices or somebody speaking to him that he doesn't. This was God speaking to him. A direct word from the Lord. You know, sometimes somebody give you a word, but that's secondhand. But this was straight from the Lord. And that's what you need to hear. And here's a direct direction command. God was not asking him. See, when the Lord comes to you, he's not asking you, could you do this? Or when you have time? That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord doesn't ask you. Do you think you'll be able to make some time to pray? He doesn't work that way. The king's business required ace. God's business is first. He doesn't take back seat or second. And that's why we miss God, because we think that, well, Lord, wait and me till I'm finished. When I finish my, Marina was mentioning, when I'm finished my education, then I will, or I get my profession, then I will, or I save so much money, then I will. That's not the way it works. If you can stall God, if you can put off the Lord and he waits for you, he's not talking to you. You didn't hear from God. Because that's not the way the Lord works. You've got to understand that he's God. Okay? He is God. And he's first. If God is not first in your life, then he will not stand second. He's first. And that's whatever you're doing for God, you have to do it with all your might. Do it from your heart. Otherwise, it's not accepted. You've got to understand that God is not desperate and he needs people to serve him. Otherwise, poor God. That's not true. It's not true. I think John the Baptist told some of the people in Israel, said, God's able to raise up a nation from the stone. If you figure that out. He raised up the human family from the dust. And John is saying, he did that, he can do it from the stone. So you've got to understand who God is. God is not depending on anyone. What was God doing before you came? And what will he be doing after you're gone? See, so we ought to fear him and serve him. And the reason why is because we really don't know who God is. Sometimes we don't even have the faintest idea of who God is. We think that is just someone that we come to and beg and ask. And if he don't give us, we get upset and we... somebody says, well, oh, so and so, they turn their backs on the Lord. You don't understand God. You cannot turn your back on the Lord. For you to turn your back on the Lord, you would have to be facing him. Face the Lord. You're going to turn your back on the Lord. God never lose anyone. Because in the end, he wins. You say, but they're acting up. It's hard to kick, he told Paul. He said, it's just hard to kick. In other words, he said, Paul, don't fight with me. You're going to lose. The great apostle Paul. Who won? The Lord won. So when the word of God came to Jonah, saying, next verse, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. See, God got a message from there, and it was time to judge them. Every one of us, her records come up before God daily. Sometimes you don't even have to do anything. The devil will take it for you. Because he's an accuser of the brethren. Yeah, every day he accuses you. Everything you do, the devil points it out to God. And the devil says, is that your child? And that's why God had to ask the devil, have you considered my servant Job? Because all of the sons of God was, God could not depend on them. But there was one. There was one. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, ah, you're doing something special for Job. You know the story. And God says, go ahead, try him. And you find out. God won. Amen. And God was right. The devil was a liar. Amen. And he lost. Yes. So the word came to Jonah. But you think Jonah would obey? Not right then, but he will. Because God doesn't force you to do anything. He does not. But the overriding influence of God, look at, you'll find out what Jonah did, what he wanted to do. But God had his way. He wanted to go one way, but God's way was first. And that overriding power of God that makes you willing. Praise God. You see, you've got to get to the place where you understand that overriding influence of God that really makes you submit. Because when you realize that he's stronger than you are, you'll never win. What do? When you realize that he can break your legs, he can break your back, he can do anything with you, but he'll get you. If he has to get you in a wheelchair, you're coming. If they have to push you in there, you're coming. I don't care. If they have to break the roof, cut the roof down, and let you down before Jesus, you're going. God is a winner. Amen. And here, this was a prophet that did not want to obey God. He's going to do just what he's going to do. And he had a very bad spirit, Jonah. I mean, this guy argued with God. And you find out here. So, it says that when the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, what did he do? And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. He's going totally different. He's not going. He's not obeying. And he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord, but he didn't know that you cannot. Anywhere you go, God is there. And he went down
to Joppa. And he found a ship.
Yeah. The devil provides some things for you to try to escape from God, right? Like a bad marriage. Like you get into a bad deal. Amen. Anything. And Jonah He's going to leave the presence of God and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. See, Jonah didn't care. Just get me out of here. Get me away from God. You ever hear that? You know, just get me out of church. Anyway, beside that church. I'll go anywhere. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to. Wait. Let's go on. Can we go on? Yeah. God's got a surprise for you. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he take his own money, paid the fare thereof, and went down. You know when you got your own money? And God's trying to talk to you. You're not listening. I'm going to pay my fare. I'm going to do what I want to do. Later, I'm not going that way. Pay the fare. He's got his own money. And Jonah paid the fare thereof. And went down into it, the bottom of the ship. You know, sometimes you feel so safe when you're not in the presence of God. You don't feel God. God got, you know, he's not touching you. He's not talking to you anymore. So my God, woo, deliverance, peace at last. I don't have to go to prayer meeting. I don't have to go to Sunday school. I don't have to go to church. Oh my goodness, woo, I'm free. Now it's time. I really need a rest. You know the people there? They got to have a rest. So Jonah went down where? Comfortable, peace, nobody bothers him. In the bottom of the ship, right? And what? To go with them and to Tarshish from the presence of God. He's running away from God. Now, if it works for Jonah, it will work for you. But if it did not work for Jonah, you need to quit. But I like that. Do you know that but right there? But the Lord. First, notice what he did. Sent out a great wind in the sea. How many you plan one way, and then when you discover God works another way? He sent out a great wind, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. My God. And notice that attack was directly against that ship. Nothing else. And there are times when you resisting God, and the tempest is around you, and everything is coming at you, and everybody else is praising God, rejoice, and giving the blessing and the glory to God. And have peace. Everybody around you has got peace. And you are in a storm. God can raise a storm. And you can be standing in a crowd. And nobody feel it. But you. And you feel those waves and the billows hitting you hard. You cannot hide from him. Alright. The mariners were afraid. Jonah wasn't. And every man. And cried every man unto his lowercase God. They did not know God. Lowercase God. There was only one man in that ship that knew God, and he was running from God. So what did they do? They cried every man unto his God and cast forth. They began to empty the ship, cast the wares that were in it to make it lighter into the sea. To lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship. And notice here, he's gone down the side of the ship. He's not helping in church. He's not doing anything in church. He wouldn't rake up the yard, plant some flowers, paint, or do something, man. Do something. You talk about paying tithe? That's my money. I needed to pay my fare.
To go
to go to Tarshish. I needed to support my habits out of the will of God. My money. So what did he do? Went down the bottom of the ship.
Into the side of the ship.
Nobody can find him. The guy just went in and found a little hole and stuck himself there. And the sea was, and he had no care, no concern. No matter what problem the church is in, no matter what's going on, the beating, the storms, he don't care. As long as he think he's safe. And I got a little hole, I'm secure. But the scripture said, but Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. You know, there's a lot of people can, even God trying to deal with them, they sleep, all that, trying to escape. What's wrong with you? You're always in bed. Oh, I'm just seeking the Lord. No, you're not. You're hiding. Oh, I can't go to church tonight. I'm having a headache. No, you don't. Or something is wrong. This guy just gave up and fell asleep. But you can hide, but somebody's going to find you. So the shipmaster came to him. Look at that. The shipmaster came to him. Let me put this way. Do you know God as a shipmaster? He's called the Holy Ghost. And you can hide and go wherever, but whither shall I hide or flee from his presence? And said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? We're going to have a convention. And look at you missing church. You're not doing a what meanest thou, O sleeper? Why don't you have to bear the burden of the church? Help the church. Arise. Wakey, wakey. It's Sunday morning. You're up Monday morning, go to work, but Sunday morning you're always late. Get up, you sleeper. Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. You understand now? They're changing. They're changing.
Maybe your God will work, our God doesn't.
Verse 6. And they said, everyone to his fellows, come, let us cast lots. Something is wrong. That we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Next verse. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us? What have you done? The Lord said, you, what have you done? Now, just about this time, you don't want them deacons get on your track. Or the church members get on your track. Brother, what have you done? Your life is falling apart. What have you done? You know, there's a lot of people around that want to know, oh, what have you done? I want to know. Why is God angry with you? Running away from your God. But one of them said, what is thine occupation? What do you do? What's your occupation? Sleep? Hiding? Running away from God? But it's supposed to be a prophet. What's your occupation? You see, you've got to understand now, that job is not really, really your occupation. Your occupation is to serve God. That's what Marina was saying. Your occupation is really to serve the Lord. What's your occupation? And whence comest thou? Boy, they were good. They could investigate, interrogate. What is thy country? Look at it. You understand that? And of what people are thou, they find out everything. Yeah. Who are your people? And you might go out there and cover up and turn your back on the church, but somebody's going to corner you and ask you, who are your people? Where? I'm not talking about being a United States citizen. I mean, your people is the Lord. Your country. I'm going to sit down right here. Go back up there. What is your country? They say, what's your country? An heavenly country. Amen. Her country. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. Our country is a heavenly country. And that's why those Hebrews, the heroes of faith, they sought for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. We're heading to a better country. Our country is a heavenly country. Our people is the citizens of Zion.
Amen.
Next verse. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear God. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. You know, this man, he was really sharp though. You go through there, he was really sharp. Let me try and get through here. Go on. Let me speed it up a little bit. I'm getting something. Next verse. Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? You should have been in church. You should have been reading your Bible. You should have been praying. What happened? Why are you getting so cold and got such a bad spirit? You know when you stop reading the Bible, an evil spirit, a bad spirit, you would know what you would do. 1 week you're praising God, and the next week you're acting like the devil. Just get your eyes off God and you'll find out. There are enemies there to destroy you. Well, I serve God part time. There's no such thing. You're either in or out. God doesn't accept part time Christians. Amen. You got to serve Him with all your heart. All your soul. So if you're just part time, when are you going to serve Him with all your heart? Huh? Well, when I'm almost dead. And you use this, oh, the thief on the cross was that. Come on, get off of that. Get off that. You're not the thief on the cross. Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled. The men knew that he used to go to a Bible preaching, believing church. And now you're over there slipping and sliding and acting like the world. The world knows you. What country are you from? You don't belong here. Who is your people? Are you listening now? He began to. I didn't know. They know me. Your people. Your people. You've got people. That's the people of the Lord. The children. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you've got a family. And you can act on it, but you have a family. For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. This is powerful. Because he had told them. All right, this is awesome. Because he had told them. Now they found him in the bottom of the ship. When Jonah got on, what do you think he did? Just imagine that he got on and he was bragging. I'm Jonah. I'm from Israel, some part. Right? What he says. Yeah, I'm Hebrew. And I'm Jonah. And I don't serve your gods. But my God told me to go to Nineveh, but I don't want to go. Pay my fare, so I'm just going to go find a nice, comfortable bed. He told them. He told him he fled from the presence of God. He did that. He's bragging. Do you see that? He told them. He said, because he had told them before what he did. So Jonah knew when the storm rose up, he knew. So he went to hide. He knew God was on his track. Just like you can know. You know. You know when you're... Let me tell you, I'm not against the movie, but the movie house, but you go and watch a bad movie and you feel like the judgment is on your heel. Yeah. Or you might sit it out, but you're just expecting the Lord to return any moment. And when you hear that big sound from the system, you think that's the trumpet of God. You know what I mean? Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. They weren't going anywhere. They weren't going anywhere. And they had resisted. God just turned it over. God was upset with him. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I knew that for my sake this, I told you, great tempest is upon you. In you. You know, there's a lot of people can watch and see the church suffering and going through. And they go to bed and sleep and don't help. They know the church is suffering. They know the church need their help. They know the church need their talent. They don't care. They just sleep through it. Like Jonah. Jonah had that spirit. Said, I know. They'll see the church struggling. We need help in the church. The church need help. They won't. They know. They know. They'll pass that paper. They'll pass that thing. They look around and they don't care. They know. Oh, let the church do it. Jonah knew something. He said, I know that God is beating this ship up. Because I'm not doing my part. And then there's another group that will just testify. Like old Jonah did, tell him, I am my God's God of Israel, and so on, and they go to bed. It takes more than that to build a church.
Amen.
Obedience. Verse 13. Quickly now.
Nevertheless,
the men rode. They're still trying. They're still trying. They rode hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Nobody can deliver you. They can row hard. You call to grandma, mama for some money. Or you're leaning on your education. You're leaning on your, I got some money in the bank. Ooh. That just gone. Like that. You got it today. Tomorrow you don't have it. Well, I've got job security. What's job security? The only security you got in this world is Christ. But I don't care what kind of job it is, it can just go under.
Yeah.
Job security. It's only when you trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore they cried unto the Lord.
Amen.
See what? You see now? They quit trying. They cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee,
let us not
perish. The reason why I'm going over here, because this is powerful. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not this upon us, innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. He does. He does. Nobody would be here unless God wanted us to be here tonight. You didn't come because of your own. It's because God led us. Because God touched us and gave us strength. And God wants you to hear this message. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea right away. Look, I mean, the sea stopped. The sea ceased. I mean, so the next verse.
They took
Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Boy, they got the fright. Now, you know, you're worrying about the world outside there. Say, no, they'll never turn to God. All God had to do is just show them a sign. It's not hard. It's only hard when we try to do it. You look around this church and here, we have people come like, say, Sister Debbie. She was here just last week, was it? Came in. Monday. And you know how many people she invited already? Her sister. And then Sister Pam. Two. And you might be here for a year and never invite two. That's awesome.
Amen.
God can bring people here. I look around and bring another one. And Sister Joan, you bring Sister Judy, right? How many you brought? Rebecca, you do that sometimes, but we got to keep it up. Yeah. One invite the other, and then the other one, and you invite another one.
Yeah.
You'll see what God will do.
Yeah.
Hey. But you got to tell people what God's doing.
Yeah.
People need the word of God. Yeah. People are tired of hearing gimmicks and storytelling and fantasy. We need to get back to the word and hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. This is where I like this. Look at this now. Because I'm heading somewhere before I close. Now,
the Lord had prepared a great
fish. You don't understand. While you're sleeping and running away from the presence of God, God's cool, man. The Lord saying, okay, I've got something for you, Jonah. I've got a surprise. Go ahead and sleep. Don't wake up yet. I'll wake you up when it's ready. And the Lord was preparing a great fish. Notice that was a special fish. To swallow up Jonah. He didn't know it. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the belly of the fish. Okay, that's chapter 2? Okay. But no, hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 12, give it to me quick, and verse 40. Matthew chapter 12, get there. And notice that what Jonah and what happened to Jonah, that Jesus, my Lord,
yes.
Jesus used it as an example.
Yes.
You get that now?
Yeah.
For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights where? In the heart of the earth. On the third day, the whale, when Jonah prayed, the whale vomit Jonah out.
Amen.
Jesus, before he died, he commit his spirit into the hand of his Father. And after 3 days, the grave could not hold him. My Lord. He arose victorious over death and the grave. The grave had to spit him out.
Amen.
They used to sing a song, "Up from the grave he arose." With a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose, the victor, over the dark domain. And he lives forever. Jesus was able to use that as an example of how long he would be in the grave and what he'd be doing. He said the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Verse 41. Then he goes on to the men of Nineveh. But this part here now. Now, Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and he saw no corruption. Now, the Son of God was 3 days in the heart of the earth and he saw no corruption. He rose before corruption set in. Now, you want to know what Jonah was doing while he was in the whale's belly? Chapter 2. We've had it this morning. He was praying. He set his face towards the temple. You want to know what Jesus was doing? When he was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. What I'm not talking about his body, but what his soul and what his spirit was doing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 4. I want you to help me quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 4. I want to show you something quickly in closing. Go down to verse 18. You ready? Verse 18. Look at this. Let's go slow right here in closing. You got it? Up there. For Christ also, notice, at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, not in the spirit, but in the flesh. He committed spirit to God, but he was put to death in the flesh. Amen. But quickened, what does that word quickened mean? Alive in the spirit, quickened by the spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit, not little S spirit, but the Holy Ghost. Spirit. Follow? Here is goes on, verse 19. By which what? The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, by which also he, notice, he went. After he was put to death in the flesh, he was quickened by the Spirit. That's what the Bible said. Yes. You can spin it any way you want to do, but it still stays there. He went and preached. Oh my goodness. Unto the spirits in prison. You ought to be shouting. You know what Jesus did. He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. We don't have time, but we'll pick it up about the spirits in prison. And here's the reason why he did this. Because he came to set the captives free. And there were many dead that died before they heard the gospel. Let the Bible speak. Verse, is it 20? Which, notice the spirits that he preached to. Little S spirits. Which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. You read it, 120 years. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now there's another part I want. In chapter 4, Look at chapter 4, verse
5.
Help me now. 5 and 6.
Who shall give account?
In chapter 4, verse
5.
All right, now notice it's the same lesson continue now. He went to preach to the spirits in prison. Those were departed souls that had gone on, went back as far as the days of Noah, and he probably even further than that. Just imagine now. Just imagine when Jesus died in 3 days, he went back all the way back to the days of Noah and preached to the spirits that were shut up in prison, and they had to wait until a Messiah, a Savior came. Help me. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge what? The dead, the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead. He can judge them. But he had to do something. He had to go all the way back and preach to them so that he could judge them without excuse. So here now. Verse 6. Why? He might judge the quick and the dead. The living and the dead. So for this cause, the gospel, this cause was the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. The law of liberty. The law of grace. Grace. The unmerited favor of God. Was the gospel preached also, also to them that are dead? When did he do it? 3 days he went back and preached to the spirits in prison. You ought to shout. He preached to them that are dead. Why? Why did he do it? So that when the judgment come, they would not have an excuse. He would not have to go back and preach to them again. He just did it while he was dead. His spirit was alive. And he went and preached to them. They have no excuse. So, whether you're dead or alive, it doesn't matter. You have no excuse. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Hallelujah. Is there another verse there? Let me see what verse 7 said. All right. But did you get that? Now, when Jesus rose, when Jesus died, he went and preached. And it was so powerful that even some of the dead came out of the grave when he rose. And went into the holy city. I think I'll leave it right there. And keep you thinking. But I'll pick it up. Give the Lord a praise.